Okay, well, we do have Humphrey McQueen for our last interview for this year, so thanks for joining us, Humphrey.
Thank you again, Lisa. You were mentioning about the ABC people, but of course, that great crook who went to jail in the US for a previous round of scams, Michael Milliken, was in for one of the bidders to buy up ABC in Australia.
Was he?
But the real child abuser we want to talk about this morning, of course, is Julia Gradgrind.
Oh, Julia Gillard.
That's a big call.
Julia Gillard.
Look, Humphrey, before you go too much further, a bit of information on Julia Gillard. I was recently at lunch with secretaries of the Australian Education Union from all over Australia. They described Julia Gillard as an airbrushed Maggie Thatcher, right? And there is going to be industrial action taken over these league tables that she intends
impose. Well, it's the whole attitude towards social equality in education. And we know that the anti-Labor Party, which has been in government now for 2 years, has totally abandoned any movement towards the old principles of social equality. I mean, when they were handing out the money to the schools as part of their wonderful stimulus package, they were handing it out to the richer schools as well. And one of the interviewers said to her, look, you know, what's going on here? To which her spin doctor had fed her the line, which she then put out. Every school can be improved. And I thought, yes, we can now gold plate the bell tower at Geelong Grammar.
Yes.
But that's the kind of line that they put out without any sense at all. And now, having put all the money into the richer schools, they're now going around beating up on the poorer schools with these league tables. You know, I mean, if you ask that basic question, you know, why are there these disparities between the outcomes in the schools? Well, they are the results of disparities of the nature of the class system under which we live. And they are doing, of course, nothing about that except, of course, I say nothing is wrong, because the whole set of policies that I really want to look at, because there are four major areas of crime on the charge sheet against the Gillard Gradgrind, and the reintroduction of work choices under this new branding of Fair Work Australia. Mm. The second one, of course, is the attempt to introduce this phony inspectorate to give a gloss to the construction Stasi, the Building and Construction Commission. So that's the second one. Then, of course, we mentioned already this assault on children through the standardised testing and then the league tables. But, of course, in a way, the worst one, and that gets her the real name of Gillard, is this model law on occupational health and safety, which abolishes all of the reforms of the 80s, takes us back as people like Chris White, who was involved in it as Secretary of the Trades and Labour Council in Adelaide, who's been outraged by it, of course, and been putting material out, and you can track that down easily enough, that the whole of the occupational reform, such as they were, and they were, you know, they weren't perfect by any means, all of that is going to be wiped out under this new Model Act. Now, given the fact that she began her life as the lawyer in what was basically a compensation legal firm, she knows perfectly well what she's doing. All of these things, of course, are ways of giving capital what they are after, which is ways of increasing their rates of exploitation.
Yeah.
And yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, now, Humphrey, we haven't actually managed to. We were going to speak to Tim Gooden at one point about the national OHS legislation, and we haven't managed to get him into the studio or on air. So do you want to just run through a couple of the worst examples from this?
Well, I think, I mean, as I say, Chris White's put out a lot of material about this, and if you key his name in and things, you know, I mean, you can easily get to his site. But I mean, one of the examples he gives is that inspection of situations on, you know, I mean, you're now back to the 24-hour notice system, which means, of course, you ring them up and say, I mean, this used to happen in the very old days with the inspectorate. The inspector would ring up and say, I'm going to come round tomorrow.
Yeah.
And now the trade union officials or the activists won't be able to do anything about it. He gives the example of what would have happened to Bernie Bainton in the asbestos case. None of the things that he was able to do or a union was able to do for him, all of those things won't now be possible under this Act. I mean, the word that is coming out is that they've had 420 submissions or something. There are 2 weeks allocated to go through them, which is an indication that they really don't care about them. They picked up a few technical changes, but Killard refuses to budge on any of the major issues that the big employer groups have said to us, this is what we want out of this. It is too expensive, the way in which the laws are functioning. This is, costs us too much to look after the people who we are exploiting for their surplus value. So we want it all changed again. And I think, it is unfortunate that the labour movement in general seems to have, the organised labour movement seems to have dropped the ball on this and not made it the big issue, which I think it absolutely has to be. And for trade unions, of course, occupational health and safety is a major way of winning people and keeping them as active trade unionists, because it's the thing that everybody is well aware of in their workplace, that with stress leave and psychological pressures and the general level of bullying through the society, I mean, something like about 95% of the people say that they've experienced it in their workplaces. That's on top of all the physical injuries that are going on as well. And all of that is going to be changed under this new Model Act. So that, I think, is the top of the charge sheet against Killard as to what she's been doing. But the really important point, I think, is to remind ourselves that we're not here talking about the crimes of an individual. We're not even really talking about simply what has happened to the organised party that used to be a Labour Party has been totally transformed into an anti-Labour Party, so that the initials ALP quite happily stand for anti-Labour, spelt with a B-O-U-R for the whole of the Labour movement.
I actually thought it stood for Amateur Liberal Party.
Well, they're more professionals than amateurs when it comes to that, and they've been there for 25 years under the Hawke and Keating activities. But the thing we have to remember in all of this is it's not about parliamentary politics. It's about class politics. And that what Killard Gradgrind represents is the personification of the way in which the state apparatus deals with all these things. And the simple formula always to bear in mind is that the state exists to organise capital and disorganise labour. It organises capital, disorganises labour. And the Killard Gradgrind, the whole of this anti-labour government, is there as the personification of this way in which the capitalist system has to operate. So that it's really a class question, and we have to keep that front and centre all the time.
Now, keeping that front and centre then, I mean, obviously you've got the Work Choices Light legislation that went through this year, which was a major disappointment, I'm sure, to, the vast numbers of people who voted Labour in, thinking that this might be the end of the Howard-style industrial relations system. But, Labour's barely touched it.
Well, I won't say that Labor has, I'll say anti-Labor has.
Yeah.
And it's important to think about what the changes to Work Choices into this spin-doctored Fair Work Australia stuff have been about, because they did change a couple of things. What they did, and this was articulated by that sort of walking dishcloth, Greg Combe, who said, industrial relations are no longer about collective needs. They're about individual rights.
Mm.
The complete triumph of bourgeois ideology. And what they did was, of course, to restore some of the claims for unfair dismissal and to remove the workplace agreements for individuals. So that on an individual basis, if in somehow or other you can get some ambulance-chasing legal firm to take up your case for you, because the whole object of it is to destroy the ability of organised labour and trade unions to be able to do these things for you. But there are greater, if you could say, on paper, individual rights. What, of course, it hasn't done, and this continues on from the Hawke-Keating years all the way through Howard, so it isn't just Howard. I mean, Howard just continued the process one stage further. What we've seen is the disorganisation of labour, that what the class is doing is what I was saying before. It is there to disorganise the working class. Now, sometimes, of course, it disorganises the working class by organising it in a particular way. Doesn't mean to say that it's left wandering around by itself, because that might give rise to a bit of spontaneous activity on sites. So you've got to keep them under control as well. But you are disorganising their power. So it's no surprise, then, that a group of unions have taken the anti-Labor government and their Fair Work Australia legislation to the International Labor Organization, again for violating many of the basic tenets of the whole charter of working people's rights, that even an organisation as conservative as the ILO, which is a mixture of both capital and labour, even there they haven't been able to bring it into line with those ILO standards, and the unions have taken them back to this. So indeed, as you say, there's been a failure to live up to the promises and all the money that the unions and the effort that they poured in to getting the previous anti-Labor government out and putting this new anti-Labor government in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's then no surprise that the unions managed to win right of access to workplaces, but we're still having huge battles over trying to untie ourselves from the huge bureaucracy that's around taking any kind of action, because that's where you really see unions come into their own. It's not whether or not you get to come and get some advice from a delegate or a representative of the union, that, you know, one poor person that's trying to solve a dispute. It's when you actually collectively decide to take action in whatever form, and we're still hamstrung by that. We're still getting docked pay for 4 hours for a five-minute meeting. We're getting, the poor posties have had to put God knows how many ballots through to get any action taken. I mean, we even saw the consequence of the secret ballot legislation, the logical consequence, which is the British Airways workers in the UK now have, despite jumping through every hoop that the state requires there, and it's, you know, similar legislation, they've now got a ban on any industrial action they wanted. That's where we're heading, and it seems to me, no surprise that that's the thing that they're not budging on.
Well, I mean, you can see it particularly with the Australia Post, or what many of the workers call the management Australia Pest, have done. They've used all of those legal procedures to drag the union in and out of court.
For three years
have been going on. And, I mean, and they've done it again in the last few days. So that even within what is supposed to be the protected period for industrial action, the one moment in which the right to take industrial action, which is part of what should be a basic support for every working person, that right isn't there most of the time. And even when it is supposedly there in these protected periods, what the Fair Work Australia Bill does is to make it possible for almost any complainant, any third party, to come along and say, I've been ill affected by this proposed industrial action, and I'm going to take some legal recourse to get you to stop it. So that effectively there is no protected period anymore. And the opportunities, as Lisa was just saying, that for people to work together in their workplaces, to rebuild their sense of support and solidarity, to rebuild a progressively minded labour movement, all of that, of course, is what these rules against taking collective action are designed to really prevent. That they are ways, as I said at the beginning, of disorganising the working class.
Humphrey, I'm not too sure whether you're aware, but I recently heard about a pathology company and the people who work for that pathology
Dorovich
company.
Dorovich is the name.
Dorovich.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Dorovic. With people working inordinate hours and had grievances and whatever, went through all the legal hoops that they should go through, and the company made an application to Fair Work Australia, and they've been locked out until February.
Locked out
of their workplace until February. For standing up for their rights.
Yeah, legally.
You know, where's Fair Work Australia? Where does that come into it?
Well, I mean, Fair Work is the work of the spin doctor. That's what Fair Work Australia is. I mean, everything she comes out with has obviously been perfectly spun for her, and she's very good at just repeating those lines over and over. But as I say at the beginning, it's not a matter of the viciousness of one person's personality. I mean, no one was more disappointed over Utegate than she was, because she would have sailed straight into the prime ministership. Poor old Turnbull would have still been leader of the opposition if Rudd had had to go. So it isn't even a matter of that. Of course, that drives the need of the agent of capital, which is what she and Rudd and all of that lot truly are, to perform the function of the state, which is, I keep on repeating, organised capital, disorganised labour. And that's what we've got to... That's the message we've got to carry forward in all of our struggles.
And now we have Abbott and Abetz coming out and saying that, don't discount the word work choices, because we're still thinking of a similar system if workers are silly enough to vote for us. So the old guard's still there.
Well, I mean, they've got a problem, of course, is that Abetz is going around saying this is what happens when you dismantle work choices. Mm. Well, of course, they haven't dismantled work choices. Mm, I mean, that's the real problem that the Abbott and Abetz team have, is that the thing that they are hedging around, it's only on questions like how big your workforce has to be before you come under unfair dismissal laws, or the individual workplace agreements. They're the only two things that they might do something about again. Because everything else, Killard, Gradgrind has handed to the employer class. They got everything they want out of it. And then she goes around bleating, oh, we got the balance right. And what she means by that is that some lunatic on the far right of the employer groups have said, we didn't get everything we wanted. And she takes that as proof that she's got the balance right, because some ultra-right winger or total propagandist on their behalf has made some criticism of what she's done. But this get the balance right mantra, which she trots out all the time, get some real balance right, that would be a great idea. As I've said many times before, what a great idea it would be to use the Building and Construction Commission to investigate the employers and their corrupt practices. I mean, let's have 5 years of that. That's a way to get the balance right.
Yeah, well, building workers have vowed to camp outside the Adelaide court for next year's trial of Ark Tribe, who's facing jail for refusing to fund a federal government commission.
Well, how he's got into that, of course, is by defending health and safety on site. These things are, all of them, Fair Work Australia, the Construction Stasi Commission, Occupational Health and Safety, all those things interlock into each other. You weaken the rights of workers in one of those bits of legislation, and you weaken them all the way through.
Mm. Well, he's been charged with failing to appear before the ABCC in 2008 over a safety meeting on a building site, and because he refused to give evidence against these fire workers.
Yep.
I would have thought that was a great Australian trait not to give your fellow workers up.
Wow.
And that's assuming they were doing anything wrong.
Also a great working class trait, I think, not to rat on your fellow workers.
Yeah. I mean, it's, as you say, I mean, these are the principles that made an organised labour movement operate. And it's blokes like Ark Tribe who just feel in their guts that, I'm not going to do this. And it is a simple response to that fundamental sense of how you survive as a worker in a capitalist society.
That's right.
There are just some things you don't do.
I think you summed it up perfectly there.
And scabbing, that's what it would truly amount to.
Yeah.
He says, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And, of course, what we've now seen is that this is building a big campaign with other people saying, of course you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I think we need to wrap it up there. We've covered quite a bit this morning.
We have indeed, you know, but it's the kinds of things that the anti-Labor government has covered, and we do need to see them as that general picture.
Yes, and probably defenders of capital over the last 100 years or so.
Essentially, yes.
All right.
All right. Well, good on you, Humphrey. Shoplifting days to Christmas.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Thanks for that. All right. We really appreciated it.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Good on you, Humphrey. Humphrey McQueen, he's quite entertaining, isn't he?
What did he say? 5 shoplifting days to Christmas.
Yeah.
I've not heard that before. That's
funny. It's an old joke. It's old enough to vote, but we'll let him get away with that one. 5 shoplifting days till Christmas.
Yeah.